Thanks so much, Max, and good singing. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. I've got to say, I really enjoy these messages, preparing these messages in Kings and Chronicles. I like knowing about the kings. I like learning from their lives. The chronology of Kings and Chronicles is really complicated. And I don't want you to get too worried about that, but every now and again I like to try and explain some of the chronology. But you've got a sheet there. I'm not going to mention that during the message tonight. That's for you to take home, and so that you can correlate between what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Judah with the different kings. We can nail the dates pretty well exactly to the year and half years from the Word of God. So that's there as a tool for you to help you just understand how it all fits together. Anyway, we're going to be using that green sheet tonight. The series of messages that we've been doing is called The Shepherds, and the title of this evening's message is How to Be Blessed by God. I hope we want to be blessed. Okay, let's pray. Precious Father, we do ask that as we come to your word, that you would give us a desire to be blessed by you, that we would walk as Jehoshaphat walked, that we might have the blessings with which you blessed him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is the issue of TV and what is watched important? Well, over the past 15 years, I've come to the conclusion that for Christians today, TV is one of the most important issues in the Christian life. TV will, at least much of TV will, actually inhibit God's blessing in our lives. I came across this article in my search on how to be blessed on God, and it was called Going Down the Tube. What kind of TV watcher are you? A random channel flipper who wears out the remote control? Or are you a research-oriented person who checks out the TV schedule before you get into the TV? Or maybe you're a zombie watcher. It doesn't matter what's on, you just plonk down and watch whatever's there. Regardless of what kind of couch potato you are, this article says, here's something you should think about the next time you head for a TV as a diversion from quantum physics or doing the dishes. Notice what media analyst Kenneth Curtis discovered after a decade of studying the tube. He says the virtually omnipresent, flickering screen constantly underscores what is important and what attitudes and behaviours are desirable. In other words, the people who put the TV programs together are conditioning you what to think and the way they want you to think. That's really scary when you think what some of the most popular TV shows are. The key thing to realise is that the networks are not committed to Christian values. So if you're committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a difference in counsel between what you get from the Bible and what you get from the TV. And remember, the TV people are experts and influencing opinion, so don't think it won't affect you. Finally, the article says, television's excessive violence, emphasis on immoral sex, and glamorization of materialism can quickly distort our thinking. Well, Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man. And then it goes on to talk about some ways in which the man of God might be blessed, or how he should act to be blessed by God. In fact, Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So that means that the counsel of the TV is out because it is definitely ungodly. Well, having established that the ungodly counsel of TV is out, what else does the Bible have to say about being blessed by God? We could study Psalm 1 tonight and be very blessed by our study of it, but the principles of Psalm 1 are actually lived out in the life of one of the kings of Judah, King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of Judah, following Rehoboam, Abijah, and his father Asa. We looked at Asa last time. The account of his life is given in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through 20. Now, tonight we're just going to look at 2 Chronicles 17, and after that, We're going to have to go back to Kings because that's what comes next in the chronology and see what's been happening in Israel whilst we've been following the kings in Judah. And then we'll have to come back to chapter 18 and through to 20 to finish his life story. 2 Chronicles 17 gives four reasons why Jehoshaphat was blessed by God. The first reason that Jehoshaphat was blessed by God is he sought victory. He simply sought victory in his life with God. In the Old Testament, possession of the land of Israel is a picture of the New Testament believer possessing his soul, possessing his life. Seeking victory in the land of Israel, is a picture of seeking victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Victory in the Christian life is not something that happens by accident. We're not going to have victory by just sitting and doing nothing. Victory in the Christian life has to be sought. Jehoshaphat sought victory, and thus he was blessed of God. He sought, according to Psalm 1 and verse 1, to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So let's observe what he actually did. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 1. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. He strengthened himself against Israel. Now remember, Israel has become a godless, an idolatrous nation, and they're constantly threatening the couple of tribes of Judah in the south. Baasha, king of Israel, showed aggression against Jehoshaphat's father, Asa. And now Ahab, remember King Ahab, he's now king of Israel as Jehoshaphat comes to the throne. In fact, Ahab has been reigning for 4 years in Israel. Ahab was no friend to the godly. Jehoshaphat was right to seek victory seriously. Chapter 17 and verse 1 again. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Because Jehoshaphat sought the victory, God was with him. Verse 3 says, God was with Jehoshaphat. The details of Jehoshaphat's military preparation is given later in the chapter. Now the details start in verse 14. What he did to seek victory. These are their numbers according to their fathers' houses. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adnah the captain, with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehohanan the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasiah, the son of Zichri. Listen to this, who willingly followed himself to the Lord. How would you like your name put down in the Bible and next to it saying, who willingly followed the Lord? That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? And with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eliezer, a mighty man of valor, with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. Next to him, Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king, besides those that the king put in the fortified cities throughout Judah. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, when you add all those hundreds of thousands together, the total is 1,160,000 fighting men. That is, every man in Judah that was not in the fortified cities of fighting age must have been involved in this. It is a large number of men, so the population would have been of Judah at that time must have been, I don't know, three times that. 500,000 perhaps. But remember that the population in Judah had been bolstered 15 years before. Remember there was that great hemorrhage of people from Israel in the north and they came into Judah in the south. We aren't given the statistics, but it was a large number because Baasha reacted against the loss of all the people going south into Judah. And that was 25 years ago now. And so their children, there's also the children to add to that large number that came from Israel. So Jehoshaphat was able to mount an army twice the size of his father's. And Jehoshaphat took victory seriously. Penny Duncan began drugs at 16, just smoking pot. By 17, she was popping pills. And by the time she was 20, she was on heroin. at the height of her heroin addiction, she met another Pat Lawler, who was with the Navigators. Patty writes, "Pat told me I could get off drugs permanently through Christ. I couldn't see the connection between Christ and my dilemma, but I wanted to break the habit so much that I withdrew cold turkey in Pat's living room. The Navigator girl stayed with me constantly for 3 days, comfort me as I suffered the withdrawal pains. A few days after that, she writes, I was again in agony, so I called for someone who'd bring me a shot. But while waiting for the contact to come to the phone, I thought about what Pat had said to me. Had I really given God a chance? I tried everything else and they had all failed. In a few minutes, I'd be back in the middle of an addiction nightmare. So I hung up before the pusher answered. I prayed. I asked Christ to take charge of my life and to help me overcome drugs. It seems miraculous, I know, but just after I prayed, the withdrawal cramps left. I simply couldn't believe it at the time. I had withdrawn many times before and nothing like that had ever happened. Now, God blessed her on that occasion to encourage her faith. But there were reversals and struggles, and the cramping pains returned many times before she had final victory. She learnt 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And she goes on to give this word of testimony. I began studying the Bible regularly, replacing old, ugly thoughts with brand new Christian concepts, life-changing concepts. Now, I'm a student at a teacher training college, and at that teacher training college, I'm leading a Navigators ministry, she says. By the end of the first year there, 22 young women had surrendered their lives to Christ. One girl named Allison was so unresponsive that I began relating to her the story of how God had helped me to overcome heroin. Allison became very attentive. When she went back to her room that night, she says the only thing she could think of was my story. And she knew what she must do. She asked Christ to come into her life that night. Patty writes, there are miracles today. This is one. It seemed to be beyond hope. Yet now I am helping other girls get right with God. The pusher's plaything, that's how she referred to herself, the pusher's plaything has become Christ's free woman. Praise God. Well, this morning we saw how there is freedom from the penalty of sin when a person trusts Christ. And we emphasize tonight there's freedom from the power of sin, even from the worst of addictions. But this doesn't happen just by chance. The victory has to be sought. It takes effort. Victory must be sought, and in seeking the victory, there we will find the blessing of God. The second reason that Jehoshaphat was blessed by God is he walked spiritually. Firstly, he sought the victory. Secondly, he walked spiritually. Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." So Jehoshaphat walked spiritually. And the account continues in verse 3. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. He walked in the Spirit, in that he rejected the substitutes, the Baals. There are many things that can be substitutes for God in our lives that take our time away from him. But he walked in the Spirit in that he rejected the substitutes. As David was a man after God's own heart, Jehoshaphat was also a man after God's own heart. And Jehoshaphat was the great, great, great grandson of David. Second, he walked worthy in obedience to the commands. He walked in the Spirit and he walked worthy. So, see if you can observe those two aspects of his walk as I read those verses again. Now, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. That is, in the Spirit. He did not seek the Baals. But he sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments. That is, he walked worthy, not according to the acts of Israel. in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians has much to say about the Christian's walk. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are to walk in good works. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, walk as children of light. And Ephesians 5 and verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Jehoshaphat had a spiritual walk. That's why God blessed him, according to the promise of Moses. It says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. So walking with God will bring the blessing of God. If you've watched any motorcycle racing, you know that those blokes lean into the corners. The sharper the corner, the more they lean. Sometimes they're almost horizontal with that bike, aren't they? Now imagine you're on the back. Might be a little bit scary perhaps, but if you're going to make it, you better lean the same way that the cycle driver leans. If he's leaning this way and you lean that way, you're going to end up in the barriers. You need to lean the way he leans. The spiritual walk is just that simple. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all. Walk with him and in him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 says, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, this means that we lean when the Lord Jesus leans. We turn when the Lord Jesus turns. We go when the Lord Jesus goes. And if he says wait, we wait. That's it. That's walking in the Spirit. And when we do walk in the Spirit, God's blessings are going to come into our lives. We are blessed with God, blessed by God when we seek victory and when we walk in the Spirit. The third reason Jehoshaphat had the blessings of God was he delighted in the Lord. He delighted in the Lord. Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And this was true of Jehoshaphat. We can see Jehoshaphat's life paralleling Psalm 1 here. Verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 17 says, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Well, the reason that Jehoshaphat had a spiritual walk because he delighted in the Lord. The New King James says he delighted in the Lord. Now the Old King James puts it this way. It says, I haven't got it on your sheet, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And it's translated, he delighted in the Lord. Now, sometimes to have a heart lifted up against God means in pride against God. But in this case, his heart was lifted up in the ways of God. And so the verse is translated by different translations. He delighted in the Lord. He was devoted to the Lord. He was committed to God. He was completely faithful to the Lord. In other words, he was sold out to the Lord. Playing hurt means competing when you don't feel like it. Taking the field with an illness or an injury, knowing that by playing you're going to be suffering pain. You keep playing when no one would blame you for sitting on the sideline. Why? Because you believe it's important. For example, gymnast Kerry Strug performed her final vault at the 96 Olympics with an injured ankle. The coach said, you can do it. And Kerry gave it all she had. Race driver Dale Earnhardt piloted his car through 200 grueling laps only 2 weeks after he suffered a fractured clavicle and a split sternum, and let me say a split sternum hurts. Why? He was pursuing a championship and he needed the points of every race. For what or for whom are we willing to keep going, even if it hurts? What do we consider important? These people did it for sport. The Apostle Paul was so committed to Jesus Christ that he endured the incredible personal pain to keep telling others about the Lord. Here's how Paul described playing hurt. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. He said, "In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." May I ask tonight, are you sold out for the Lord? Is your delight in Him? If so, you're going to be blessed by God. God blesses the man who seeks spiritual victory, who walks spiritually, and who delights in his Saviour. The fourth reason Jehoshaphat was blessed by God is he promoted the truth. He promoted the truth. Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And how has this played out in the life of Jehoshaphat? We look at verse 7. "Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent leaders," and their names are listed for you there in that verse, "to teach in the cities of Judah," the end of verse 7 says. Verse 8, "And with them he sent Levites," and again their names are listed, and at the end of verse 8, "and with them Elishama and Jehoram the priests. So they taught in Judah," that is, the leaders, the Levites and the priests, "so they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." So the leaders of the people, the princes, the Levites and the priests worked together. The king instigated, he promoted and supported the teaching of the word of God throughout the land of Judah. He did everything he could to push to get the truth to the people. What a good plan that was. They carried the books of Moses. They read the books of Moses and they taught the people from the books. Thus king and people were blessed of God. He promoted the truth. My first posting after uni was Royal Newcastle Hospital. The medical super in welcoming the new residents to the hospital asked, "Who are the most important people in this hospital?" A case could be made for the nurses or doctors or cleaners. Certainly a case could be made for the administration staff organising everything, or the catering staff. Everyone had to be fed and perhaps... but he reminded us that day that the most important people in the hospital, of course, were the patients. Now, that may be obvious to you, but it's not so obvious to a bunch of young doctors who think they're the ant's pants, you see. Now, when you study the Bible, you might forget how important you are in the process. You are the critical factor when you read the Word of God. Like those residents who needed to approach patients humbly, we need to approach the Bible humbly. We bring nothing to the Bible except our need. And having heard from God, we then promote, support and proclaim his truth in any way we can. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And here's the blessing that comes to such a man. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Yes, that's how to be blessed, how to prosper in the Christian life. Number one, seek victory. Number two, walk spiritually with the Lord. Number three, delight in God. He is our joy, he is your heart. You think about him all day, proclaim his word. I'd like to also show you that if we live in such a way as we've just described, what are the kind of blessings God will bring into our lives? Well, we begin with verse 5. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. There are three ways mentioned in that verse that God blessed Jehoshaphat. Firstly, he was given a stability, a poise, a peace, a spiritual peace. Verse 10 also adds, and the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah. So they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. So God gave him a spiritual peace because he walked with him. Secondly, he gave Jehoshaphat riches. Whilst Jehoshaphat accumulated the world's riches, Israel was blessed physically for a spiritual walk, we are blessed spiritually for our spiritual walk. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and of our Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we are blessed spiritually when we walk with the Lord. More details of Jehoshaphat's riches are given in verse 13. It says he had much property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. When we are blessed of God, we will have a peace, a spiritual peace. We'll have riches, spiritual riches, and we will have honor. Verse 5 says again, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Verse 11 adds, and some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So that God caused even his enemies to show a respect and honor Jehoshaphat. A fourth blessing for Jehoshaphat mentioned in 2 Chronicles 17 is in verse 12. It says, so Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. So he was given peace, riches, honor, and power. These all came to him, all blessings of God, because his life was pleasing to God. Now, do you want these kind of blessings from God or not? They are spiritual blessings enjoyed by those who make spiritual choices, godly choices. Are they the kind of choices that you want to be making, that you have God's blessings? Why do we allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to dictate to us so much? Perhaps like TV does. Why isn't it that we make choices to please God? To improve efficiency, a company hired a consultant who called a meeting of all the shop personnel. Stressing the need to listen to experts, he said, imagine you're on the Titanic, and the Titanic's sinking. You manage to get into a lifeboat. Now you're in the lifeboat. Which way do you row? Then he asked, what if you had the ship's navigator with you? Now, which way would you row? And there were murmurs of agreement. Yeah, we need to listen to the experts, until one bloke at the back said, well, I don't know, he's already hit one iceberg. We've seen the world, the flesh, and the devil hit icebergs. We know they're not good. Their advice isn't worth following, no matter how prominent they seem. Why is it then that we listen to them? As for me and my house, we will love and serve God. We want his spiritual blessing, his spiritual riches on our lives. What about you? May you fully experience all of God's blessings because he has all of you. Let's pray. Oh, precious Father, we thank you for the example of Jehoshaphat, and we're excited that there was a man, perhaps that we didn't know much about, who loved you so much, at least at this stage in his life. And we thank you for his example. And we pray, Lord, that we'd seek that victory over sin. We pray, Lord, that we would walk with you spiritually, walk worthy and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that that you might enable us to draw close to you, to delight in you. And Lord, we pray that you might bring these kind of blessings on our lives, spiritual blessings of spiritual riches in the Lord Jesus Christ, of respect because we walk with you and people can see the light of your life through us. Oh Lord, bless us, your people. Use us even more, Lord. Oh Lord, we long for the community out here. Please, Lord, as we draw close to you, use us with power to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing.